Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the August 21st, 2020 edition. I am one of your co-hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting across here virtually in funny circumstances across from the man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. JT, how are you, sir?
It's been a hell of a week.
It's been a hell of a couple weeks, my friend. So last week, everything went off the rails.
Yep.
And I mean, everything went off the rails. This week, we thought we had it fixed. And no, more things kept going off the rails. However, we persevere. We decide, instead of shrinking into that good night, we decide instead to come flying at your faces, regardless of the technical problems. So here we are. We're back for the next 2 weeks. Now, we're going to be trying something. So the next day we have off. So we're going to do tonight, we're going to do next week. Right. And then we're going to take the fourth off. Now, something really exciting is going to happen on the show after the fourth. JT and I are going to attempt to be in the same room.
Yes.
This is going to be crazy, and it will take care of all of the technical issues we've been running into right now.
You say that now.
Specifically the technical problems we run into.
Yes.
There's always new ones. Yes. I remember telling someone we had more tech problems. I go, I thought you worked that out. I'm like, no. You have no idea how many there can be.
That's right.
We don't even know that they can exist until they happen. So at any rate, we want to say thank you, first of all, to anybody who bared with us last week when you came to the show. It became really apparent after just testing and running things. It just wasn't going to happen last week. This week, we're still going to be kind of cut down. I'm in the same position where I'm not going to be able to hear the poetry in real time. JT will. I'll be hearing it split second afterwards. I will still be there. I will still be responding. And I will still be engaged in the show. I just won't be doing it in real time with JT. So JT is technically living in the future from me as well, which is a fact that he has tried to tell me about many times in the past. I've just, for some reason, ignored him. So JT, what is something good that happened this week?
Oh, well, no complaints from my board at work.
Now, by board, are you talking about people or an actual board that you've just made your friend that you have in your department of work? Wilson from Castaway, you just drew a picture on a board?
Yeah.
My board has no complaints.
It's awesome. No, my dashboard that I built, no complaints this week, except from the nurses that like the old way. But apparently they don't count as a voice.
They don't? They don't count?
As a voice, they don't.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Yeah. but I'm happy to hear that you had a good week. You know, last week there was a little bit of rough stuff going on, both of our worlds. But we persevere, we're good. We move on. We're here. And so we just keep moving forward. I think it's funny kind of looking around as a country, it seemed like the last couple of weeks were the same way for everybody. Now I'm getting ready to, I guess I should announce this here. While I'm still doing all the stuff I left teaching to do, I somehow got roped into teaching at two schools now. I'm still not full time, but I'm at two schools, which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But the reason is, I think the COVID thing kind of spurred me along, to be honest, because I went to go direct a musical and do one concert at a school last semester, and COVID shut everything down, and I saw what those kids were going through and what they wish they could be doing. And it just really kind of made the competitive side of me go, this isn't going to get the best of us. Like, come on, we're going to do this now. Well, and that's actually why I'm back. I'm really considering this will be officially the last year in education. Like, really. However, I've just been through a week of pre-school meetings, so everybody feels like that. So why am I doing this? So at any rate, I've been gearing up, getting ready to go back to school as of technically Tuesday of next week. So it's been a long week of meetings and COVID protocols and all that. Hope everybody here in the chat room has had a wonderful week. Also, it's time for us to kind of relax despite technical issues and enjoy some poetry. One thing I'm going to throw out, though, and Dennis, if he's here, I'm pretty sure he is here.
He's here.
Dennis, I do apologize. Because of us trying to solve this technical problem, I had to relinquish to JT the ability to do Studio X from my place. And that just means that we're going to have to double up and do Studio X. We could do it next week, technically. Couldn't we, JT?
Yes, we could.
Okay. So we're just going to have to push it to next week. But it was in an attempt to try to fix the actual issue that I gave him the capability of doing it and therefore took it away from me. So we'll have it ready to go next week. So forgive me. I've been working on this song for like a couple weeks now. It's better be really good next time, right?
That's right. All right.
And also, just for everybody who wants to know, and Dennis sent me a message about this, and JT and I were trying to work through some stuff, and I rudely forgot to respond to him after my phone died that night. Instead of us giving the next clues to the poet of the month tonight, like we normally would have done just a mere last week, instead we're going to just do the reveal. And the reason we're going to do the reveal, I know we're cutting short three clues, but we want to keep the time going. We want to have a week where people can actually read work from the poet to be able to give them a chance to kind of research it and get into it. So that's something we are going to be doing this evening as well. JT, what else am I missing, my friend? What else are we supposed to be doing tonight?
Tonight, that's it. But you, just to let everybody know, you have an incredible cricket that is actually in the outside of your room.
It's outside the window, yes. And it's almost completely inaudible over here.
It's incredible.
Is it going right now too?
Oh yeah.
Okay, that's not a sound effect, ladies and gentlemen. That is a third co-host.
He's gonna need a name. Horrible. He's gonna need a name.
Okay, maybe we should ask people who call in. Yeah. We could take some votes on the names.
Sounds good.
I think that's a good idea. Now, before we get into any of the calls or anything like that, we've got some great submissions lined up also. We're just going to get into the rules of the show, and this is something we recite every single time. So, rule number one, there is no hate speech on this show. We've never done that. We never will do that. Rule number two, we try to skew PG-13 to make this a friendly place for people who love poetry, for younger people, for families who want to listen also. And so we just really try to make this a friendly place for them. However, we're not in the business of censoring people. So if for some reason, you know, it might be a little intense, but it's artistic kind of, I think Ginsberg Howl is a good example. Then what we will, you know, we may not jump in, but if it's a little gratuitous, a little bit over the top, we do reserve the right to be able to do so. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when you come on the line. It just helps the show flow better. It's more respectful to the other poets. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. We will talk a little bit outside of that, but once again, that's just a flow thing. Rule number five, we try to kind of adhere to the forum rules here, right? So we're happy that we're here. We're happy to discuss. There's something you're excited about. Feel free to mention it. However, we do draw the line at self-promotion. We understand that everybody's got great things going on. It just becomes it becomes a little much, especially if we open it up. So basic forum rules, no self-promotion. Just like a Facebook group, we can handle it there. In fact, if you look at these rules, they're very similar to a Facebook group rules. Rule number six, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. However, during the show, we've got so much going on, it's hard for us to remember it sometimes. So send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic.net in the contact form, or worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and we will look at it during our meetings. Now, JT, I'm going to add, just for fun, an extra easy blanket rule, rule number seven. You ready?
Yes.
Like the Fonz says, be cool.
I like that.
I think that's a good one, too. All right, everybody. So we need five unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry, Open Mic.
And we're back.
All right, and we're back. Sorry, the timing's so off, JT, and I've got so many windows open. We're back here for the first segment. I appreciate the walk in there. Thank you, sir. I was preparing all my stuff as well because we have a lot of stuff to do this. We have a lot of stuff to do, actually, this segment here. So before we get into any of the calls, though, we're going to get into a submission. JT, did we have anything that we needed to cover before we get into the submission? I'm going to take a long drink of water. So
okay. So, well, you mentioned something about our reveal earlier.
I wasn't sure. Did we do that before or after? I just couldn't remember.
We typically do it before the segment, right at the beginning of the segment.
Let's lead off then. I am ready to go, my friend.
Cool.
I always, and here's the joke, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I always forget the order that this goes in.
And the sad thing is I sent it to him.
Yeah, but it looks like it's at the end. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then reveal. That's why I asked the question.
Really?
Because the message was doubled, so reveals came at the very end of the second one. Anyway.
Gotcha.
Okay. This is good radio. All right, let's move on. So, just look at the message, man. You'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, so it is time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to unveil the identity of the mysterious August 2020, without any further ado, you know him, you love him, the poet of the month. All right, our August 2020 poet of the month is Percy Shelley. The life and works of Percy Shelley exemplify English romanticism in both its extremes of joyous ecstasy and brooding despair. Romanticism's major themes, restlessness and brooding, rebellion against authority, interchange with nature, the power of the visionary imagination and of poetry, the pursuit of ideal love, and the untamed spirit ever in search of freedom. All of these Shelley exemplified in the way he lived his life and live on in the substantial body of work he left the world after his legendary death by drowning at age 29. He's an incredible poet. I think many people are familiar with him, but if you're not, you really should be. I have just now updated worldpoetryopenmic.net. If you click on Poet of the Month, you will see a picture of him, what I just read, and a link to learn more about Percy Shelley, our August 2020 Poet of the Month. All right, here we go. Boy, JT, I'm having to play this close here, my friend. All right, so we're going to go off with we're going to start with a submission that was sent in to us from Natalia Govsha, a great friend of the show. She thinks this might be an abstract poem. and kind of in keeping with our poetic form of the month. It's called White, and it's about a woman who had a gift for poetry but wasn't able to write. And here we go. White. Blindfold, she stood on a rough scaffold stage. Strange. She was strange, the soul without edge. Her soul wrapped in a white cloth, piercing white, tight, and closed from prying eye, behind an irresistible smile, her smile. Defenseless light is not visible on white, but a dot has been seen, small red spot among of white for sight. Everyone could shoot a lead. Sorry, let me start that again. Everyone could shoot a lead for her bleed, but everyone has been blind by white, piercing white. The hand did not arise. Everyone was amazed. Sun's scorching sight, sunbeams refined, and here he was on a white horse. He shot the dart, hit the mark, red mark. He was smart, unique smart. Eyes sharp, wise heart, arm hard, sage brain, drowned white into red, bled. He changed her world, white into red, and again into white on the new plane. He was the king on a white horse with golden crown of magic words. And that was White by Natalia Govsha. Great work, Natalia. Thank you so much for sending that in. Of course, it's always a joy to have your work sent in. And if you want to send in work like Natalia, you can. WorldPoetryOpenMic.net. Put it in the contact form. Indicate that it's a poem to be read on the show. Or you can send it to us at WorldPoetryOpenMic@gmail.com and do the same. Indicate it's a poem for the show. All right. Now, this is where it's going to get tricky, JT. I am now going to announce the poet, but I'm going to be listening on a delay. So JT will be the one initially responding, but I will be listening and jumping in when I can. I think we've got the thing worked out where I can hear what you're saying though, JT. So yes. I'm not going to be jumping in right on top of you.
Right.
I make no guarantees about the poets though. All right. Leading us off here in the number one spot for the evening. I think this is a first. I don't know if he's ever been in the number one spot in the first segment. Let's go now to Zach in New York. Okay. Hello, everybody. Sorry about this long wait here. So we've been having so many issues here. So what we're going to do is this. We're not doing the show again. What we're going to do is it's going to be a little wonky, but we're going to figure it out. We're going to make it work. Okay. So what I'd like to do is probably using Twitch. So there might be a slight delay here. I'm going to call our first poet up to the stand. So we're going to call Zach from New York, not the stand. That's a lawyer term. Comes up to the mic. All right. Now, let me make sure I have the volume up here too. Okay. Now,
Zach, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
We're kind of springing it on him too. So,
hey, Zach, if you can, go ahead and please read your poem.
Sure. This is a cover of a poem by someone from one of my fans from Hello Poetry. I've shared her work before. Her name is Joey, and this is called A Crystal Window. A crystal window has opened in me, opening a door and setting me free to enjoy this moment, then place this place and time as more than an outward change, but an inner sign, leading me to this well within while mustering the strength to begin. A journey of a lifetime full of treasure unknown, in an adventure revealed as precious seed sown. A crystal window has opened up in me, and I am drawn to the reflection I see, a woman of substance appearing as a fruitful tree and a piece.
Great piece, Zach.
So, Zach, well done, my friend. Well done.
Thank you.
And, you know, I know it's so harsh to kind of be doing it this way. But at the same time, hey, we're making it work. There's some issue. We're going to get this worked out. But, Zach, way to lead off. Thank you so much. And we will hear from you in the return. All right?
Thank you. A plus for effort.
We're doing our best with the effort part. We're working on it. But thank you. And thank you for keeping your head up. All right. Okay. Once again, that was Zach calling from upstate New York, leading us off here in the first segment. Ooh. JT, we're 45 minutes in. We're still in the first segment. All right, here we go. We're going to go right away. We're going to go right into Jim calling from Pennsylvania, the scariest state in the union. Jim, once you come on, just read your work, my friend.
All right. Dilly-dilly. All right, I'm going to do Gilgamesh Remembered. Gilgamesh remembered a little man carved out of stone to the mist of time. Odysseus remembered, Homer honored, and Aeneas hope escaping time. Poets remember in this era the void of mythical heroes and the stories forgotten. End of piece.
I like that piece, Jim.
Thank you.
I feel like I have a miniature Gilgamesh that follows me around daily, and that, which I won't explain. But that poem speaks to me, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We really appreciate you, and thanks for being our guinea pig. As we were trying to test things out.
All right. You guys deserve another dilly-dilly for effort.
All right, sir.
All right.
It's not a thing. Not a thing, Jim. All right. We'll talk to you during the return, sir. And that was Jim calling from the magical, mystical state of Pennsylvania. All right, let's now go to Dennis in Michigan, who can tell us how far the mighty have fallen. Hello, Dennis.
I think we have a Skype issue now.
Everybody, by the way, this is the sound of Captain Nemo losing his mind in the submarine before 10,000. This is Captain Ahab after his entire crew was killed by Moby Dick. So you think we're having different Skype issues, sir?
Yeah, hang on. We got him back.
All right, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis?
Let's give it a shot. Yes?
We got you. Go ahead and read your poem for us, please.
Hello, this is Dennis. Are you... Yes, you're hearing me. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, since I couldn't prepare for the poet of the month, I decided to bring in a different poet that's often overlooked, although he shouldn't be. He's a great encourager of poetry. And so I'm going to read a couple covers tonight. The first one. The title is Dance, and I'll tell you the author when I am completed. So the poem title is Dance. Well, my hands won't stop shaking. My heart is aflame. My mind, it gets to racing at the sound of your name. And all my secrets, the dark and insane, get lost in the moment. When I know you feel the same. And their eyes can't help but drift up from the floor as I catch a faint sight as you come through the door. And it's such an inconvenience, not a time for romance, but I find myself asking you to dance. What must they think of me? He's in love, the poor fool, with the wife of another. Oh, the hearts can be cruel. He's too young to know better. He must be daft or insane. He's just lost in the moment. She should spare him the pain. They can't see. I'm sorry. They can see as I speak to you. And you offer me your hand. The gallery is shocked by the rudeness of this man. They say, it's time to be pragmatic. I know I haven't a chance. But I find myself asking you to dance. The air hangs in stillness as we step on the floor. Our bodies come together. I'm not myself anymore. There's no God in the sky above, no hell down below. There's only this moment, only one truth to know. In your eyes, I'm a lost man on the sea of your heart. The revenge of Lord Neptune, he'll tear me apart. And it's such an inconvenience, not a time for romance. But I find myself asking you to dance. There's no time to be pragmatic. I've already taken my chance. By the looks of your husband, I'll find my head on a lance. But against my better judgment, I find myself asking you to dance. Against my better judgment, I find myself asking you to dance. End of poem. A poem by Michael Amade from his book, The Fall. And that's the end. Thank you very much.
Boy. Dennis, thank you, sir. Thank you. A controversial one, I have to say. And that's a song actually from an album called Sea, and it's on there. S-E-A.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Dennis. That was really a compliment. I hadn't thought of that song in quite a while. I loved it.
Hey, Dennis, can you hear me?
I think he might have.
Oh no.
No.
He might have put us out of our misery. Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Delayed. Okay.
Okay. Dennis, thanks so much, sir. We really appreciate it. There's so many different voices going on right now. I wish you could understand what it sounds like over here. But we appreciate you, sir.
And that was Dennis calling in from Michigan.
Woohoo!
Oh.
All right.
The fun filled night.
Let's just stay in Michigan, JT.
I think you're in the right direction. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I'm going to say this before we go to our caller, okay? Unless you've already clicked it and we'll just keep going.
No, we're good.
I'm going to say this live to everybody, but also to you as well. This is a poetry show. This is not life or death, okay? We're all okay. We're all good. It sounds crazy over here, but we're just going to have to chalk this up to being funny. We'll figure it out. We'll get it worked out. Anyway, now let's go to a man who I believe would second these sentiments. Let's go to George, also in Michigan.
Hey, George, if you can hear me, we cannot hear you, so you will please call back in.
All right. And that also means very likely is our next caller also. Okay.
Probably.
It also means Chris, you will need to probably call us back as well, but just wait until after George and then do it then.
All right. Here's George.
Hey, George.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
I can.
Good evening, George.
I can hear you. I can.
Fantastic.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good. That's all you need.
That's yes. Right. That is all we need.
That's all anybody needs. I was. I think Michael's still talking, but maybe not to me.
You're anyway. Okay. You're okay, George. Don't worry right. about Michael right now. He's in the past. It's okay.
He's over somewhere else in the closet. So, I was fortunate enough to guess the poet of the month and earlier today, and so from Percy Shelley, I picked one called "Go Thou to Rome." It's from his Adonis poem. This is a segment, not very long. Go thou to Rome, at once the paradise, the grave, the city, and the wilderness, and where wrecks like shattered mountains rise, fragrant copses dress, the bones of desolation's nakedness. Pass till the spirit of the spot shall lead the footsteps to a slope of green access, where, like an infant's smile over the dead, a light of laughing flowers along the grass is spread, and gray walls molder round, on which dull time feeds like slow fire on a hoary brand, and one keen pyramid with wedge sublime, pavilioning the dust of him who planned this refuge for his memory, doth stand. Like flame transformed to marble, and beneath a field is spread on which a newer band have pitched in heaven's smile their camp of death. Welcoming him, we lose with scarce extinguished breath. Here pause. These graves are all too young as yet to have outgrown the sorrow which consigned its charge to each. And if the seal is set here, on one fountain of a mourning mind, break it not thou, too surely shall thou find thine own wealth full, if thou returnest home of tears and gall, from the world's bitter wind, seek shelter in the shadow of the tomb. What Adonis is, why feared we to become? And that's Percy Shelley. And parts of his "Go Thou to Rome."
Great piece, George.
Percy Shelley just being so fantastic.
I will step aside and let number five
such a luminary.
All right,
George. Thank you so much. Thank you. My goodness. You know what I feel like, JT? I feel like when Gandalf is at the beginning of the Two Towers and he's like, I strayed out of space and time. That's how I feel. I feel like the show is hosted by JT and an etheric spirit who does not exist in time firmly named Michael.
You ready for the next caller, Michael?
Oh, when? Right when now? Are you referring to? Right now? What time does that even mean? Okay, yes. Let's go to Chris in Michigan, and I'm going to let you talk because it's crazy.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're having a night. It's great. We're going to make the best of this. So.
Hey, that's pretty good. I mean, I even asked for it, remember?
Well, that is true.
Uh-huh. Lazy day. Oh, anyway. Had to think. I was writing this one while I was waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You guys had a really good run tonight. You proved what it's like to be a techie. Insane.
Yes. Yes, it is. Thank you.
Oh, anyway, guys, you did pretty good.
Thank you.
No complaints here whatsoever. You've been pretty fair in what you're trying to do. So this is a poem just right for you guys. It's called Echoes of Reality. I read a work, though arguably fiction, it needn't have been. The author's voice spoke loud and clear. The clarity of thought touched. And all I could think afterwards was, damn, if I'd been there, I would have applauded you. Really? Echoes of Reality. Poets write and poets speak. We stand before others and bleed, as did those who came before, and as still others will that come after. Even within our nows. Sometimes we tell stories. Oft times it's truths. Though truths as we see them. Sometimes either the stories or the truths, well, they're ours. We lived them, are them. And other times, well, we pause with fragments of life as we found it. Dreams, moments, nows. And our talk relates what we see, feel, believe, breathe, witness, even perceive. And it matters. Our voices matter because if we don't stand and speak up, speak out, who will? And even fiction has echoes of reality. We write of what we would have done, maybe should have done, or at least would have wanted to do. Sometimes we can be brave enough, and yes, foolish enough, to stand when all the others sit. We stand to speak out, filling their silence, even if their silence is only within our minds. Fiction. Sometimes we are heard. Sometimes it's worth it. The end.
I really like that, Chris. It was really good.
It's kind of real, I think. I mean, it was literally, I was wandering the world again today, looking to see what other people had to say. And one particular author made me stop and listen. And like I said, if I'd have been there, I would have applauded because it was that worthwhile. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
And you guys did good tonight. You really did. You didn't let it rattle your cage too much. I know it did a little bit, but what the heck, you know? Life happens to all of us.
Yeah.
But you guys are good. Yeah. You took care, you took time, and you took care of your people. And that's the way it should be. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a great night, and if you have a return engagement, I'll give you a holler. And if you don't, well, I was here anyway because you guys are worth being around for. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you in the return. Hey, man. Thank
you. Sure. Be safe.
Yeah.
That was some really nice words of encouragement there from Chris. And, you know, that was a rough segment. The second one probably is going to be about the same. However, we do want to hear from poets. We'll just get a little bit better at it. Yeah, just take a breath. We're okay. You know, here's the thing, JT. None of us are going to die because of the show, man. We're okay. JT's like, no one else might, but I might. No. anyway, deep breathing. So during the next call-in segment, after JT does it, he and I are going to go through some Lamaze exercises and see what we can do.
Yes.
All right. So we need five more unique callers. It is not yet time for the return engagement. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. All right. So JT.
Yes, sir.
I got to throw out something here.
Yes.
You know that who PG-13 rule?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that portion of the song.
Okay.
I misread what that song label listed. I thought it said radio edit.
There's no problem. I didn't think about it either. And then something came on. I was like, oh, people will think we're totally off our rockers right now.
Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah, that was not intentional.
No.
Let's be fair. JT is like hitting a button, turning, plugging things in. He's going crazy tonight, guys. So I'm just throw that out there.
Woo.
Well, not literally going crazy, but you know what I mean.
No, I feel like I'm going crazy. It's okay.
Slowly going crazy.
Slowly. Kind of like the count.
What do you think is You're going crazy like the count?
Sorry. I like to count and your thing. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I see. Give me one moment here, actually. I have to pull something up here.
Okay.
I had the wrong thing pulled up. Oh. So can you, JT, can you stall?
I can stall. That's a bit long. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Skinny McGuinn was so terribly thin that while taking his bath Sunday night, out popped the plug, and sloosh, swoosh, and glug, glug, it washed Skinny right down the drain out of sight. And where is oh dear Skinny bathing tonight? In some underground pool down below, or up there on high in the tub in the sky, where all of the clean people go.
Very, very nicely done, sir. Very nicely done. I appreciate you very much for that as well, because I had a very specific poet that I wanted to read for the submission part. And this was submitted for last week, so the timing's going to be a little bit off. This is from Megu Liu, and this is what the preamble was for last week, which said, a poet's birthday to be celebrated in honor of my mentor, Chris, from Lansing. And this is called Numerology. Now, meet a poet. Then, ocean voyager, time traveler, 70, his weapon, pen. Now, settle, close the doors, but he magically ignores the Moors. And that was Numerology by Megu Liu. Very, very well done. Thank you so much for the submission there, Megu. Thanks so much for stalling, JT. I appreciate that. So here's what we're going to do, if that's okay with you. I'm going to announce who our caller is, and then I'm going to, just like we did last time, drop out and allow you to do it, okay? And then you just cue me when you want me to announce the next person. Fantastic. Okay, our first caller in this segment, we're going to go to a magical land, a land of promise, a land of opportunity, a land of quippiness, and of course, great poetry. Let's go to Barbara, hailing from Connecticut.
Quippiness, and of course, great poetry. Let's go to Barbara.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. A lot of good things happened to me, so I'm good. I'm
good. Good.
Yeah.
Good. What do you have for us?
So, do you want me to just get right into the reading, or?
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, I've read this one here before, I think, but people may not remember it. I wrote it for the Garden. It was Anthology 7, Week 6, if anybody is interested. And the prompts were Revolution and Resolution. And I'm reading it tonight because the 19th Amendment is having its 100th anniversary this week. And there's going to be a statue unveiled next week on Wednesday, August 26th, in Central Park. And it's very historical because it's the first actual statue of real women in Central Park, and we'll talk about that afterward. So this is the poem. It's called Creating a Voice for Women, and it starts with a quote. Always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any one thing. It's Abraham Lincoln. Creating a voice for women. Years ago, courageous women made a resolution to achieve what none had achieved before, to fight when most had acquiesced, and to continue in the face of countless rejections. Their resolution created a revolution, and now it is commonplace. Women are now given their due place in the world and are afforded the right to choose who will govern them. We take it for granted now, but over 100 years ago, women were denied that basic right. And now we celebrate the centennial anniversary of this right, and we applaud the women who marched and gathered and left their homes to work on getting this passed. Those days, you left your family at your peril, and you had to depend upon the kindness of relatives and neighbors to care for your children. But I have to think, some women brought their youngest with them to nurture while they went about the daunting task of finding a voice, for it was a voice they wanted. The need to be heard is a given right for all individuals, male or female, and these brave women worked to give this to all women. They were crusaders who continued through tremendous odds and organized and fought to be heard. Imagine the frustration of a woman at that time trying to get the ear of men in government. Even though they had male supporters, it was the sheer tenacity of their efforts that brought this 19th Amendment to fruition. And now, as we 21st century women who have been able to vote since birth, mark our ballots, let us remember we are voting on the backs of the suffragists who blazed a trail that ended in a victory, one that we should treasure and treat with reverence, for voting is our way of keeping the people's voice alive, and women, more than anyone else, know what it is like to have no voice at all. End poem.
Like that piece, Barbara. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's for the... so anyway, this statue was created by a group called monumentalwomen.org. If you go to monumentalwomen.org, you can see the statue, what it's going to be. It's Susan B. Anthony, Sojourner Truth, and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, all at a table, which... could have happened, may not have happened. I don't know. But they're all people who helped to get the vote for women. And very interesting women, very, all of them.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have this, they were going to have this huge unveiling with, you know, a band and all that stuff. And I think that they were going to have people jumping out of airplanes over Cypress Hills Cemetery and stuff like that. But I don't think that's happening. I think it's just going to be the unveiling. Okay. And I don't exactly know what's going to happen, but they may have music. A friend of mine has written a song about it, which my group, Greenwich Pen Women, is going to, we're going to have like a sing-along with it. Anyway, so that was why I did that. But I just want to say one thing. It's funny when you're given, you know, you've been given awards, right, Michael?
Michael's on a delay, so he can't respond right away. But yes, he has been given an award or two. Or
three. Oh, okay. So I'm talking to JT. Okay, have you been given awards?
Yes.
Okay, so when you get an award for something that isn't hard for you, don't you feel like, oh, okay, they gave me an award and it's really easy, and don't you feel a little guilty for getting it? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know. This took me 20 minutes to write, but I'm getting an award for it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So they gave out 350 awards for Indian Independence Day. 350 awards across the world for Indian Independence Day to celebrate that. And it was the Gujarat state of in India,
okay,
and motivational strips, and I was one of the people that got one of these awards in the United States. And I didn't think much about it, really, until I found out that every single person, they didn't give us our certificates yet, the United States ones. So every person who got a certificate in India, they put this in the paper. And they said, this is like the greatest honor you could have as a writer. I said, holy, you know,
yeah.
I won't say it on the air.
It's okay. But yeah.
This is way more than I thought it was, you know? So that's what happened to me.
Very cool.
Got this incredible award this week, and it's really cool. So anyway, getting off the air and talk to you guys on the return. And Michael, I'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling in from Connecticut.
At the very end there, when she said, and Michael, and there was a long pause, for some reason I expected her to say, Semper Fi, and I have no idea why.
That would have been funny.
It would have been, yeah. Anyway, I really appreciated the work. I appreciated the piece and the whole thing there. Thank you, JT, for doing all the talking, all that. All right. So now let's head to Cleveland, Ohio, and we're going to visit one of the favorites of the show. Of course, everyone who's called has been favorites of the show, but one of our favorites as well, Mama Oladeji.
I appreciate the work. I appreciate the piece. And
hello, Mama.
I'm here.
Hi. We've got you on.
I just don't know what's what.
Because
I can't hear.
Yeah, you're talking with JT right now.
Hey, JT. I'm just saying, my computer, my big computer, is just spinning. I can't really get to hear, but like, a few seconds of the audio, and then it goes spinning again.
Mm.
I've tried everything from refreshing to reloading, to going to my email and starting all over again, clicking on the invite, just everything, and still just spinning.
Okay.
So I'm glad you can hear me.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
just go ahead and do my piece. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. So the name of this piece is called Words Specifically, and I wrote this, I think, last week or maybe a week and a half, because I had it for you last week, and we didn't get the chance to do it. So it goes like this. Again, the name of this piece is Words Specifically. Collecting words has resulted into a lifetime of gathering. Now I am choosing which words to send you. I send you choice words on special days and specific words on chosen days. I share words that are specific to the cause or for a special occasion. Ruling words, boss words, succinct and specific. Comical words, healing or forgiving words. When hungry, I feed you with my words. I add spice. Some call them explicit. My words are a collection of selections. Choice words for all occasions. When I am speaking, one or more of my words may offend or diss you, but not really. Words should not be apologetic, because you should know they are subject to interpretation. Even the truth can be told with a slant. What I say may be a rant. Like when I have to explain to Lanes the reason all lives and Black Lives Matter is not the same. There are degrees of lame, and some are so far gone, can't even begin to explain where to start, where to start. My thoughts may not always be calibrated to represent exactly what I meant. The words I use to establish a thought or a concept may not be what you understand it to represent. I am not of this establishment. It is I attempting, but not always bringing forth a meeting of the mind. Getting understanding is another human feat. Communicating for another being to receive you is a feat. Most minds are out of reach. Getting through to them is like a security breach. How certain words make you feel is felt by your subliminal choice. Once I am involved, it's a mystery to solve. How you apply words to your wounds is your call. All depends on their appeal to your ears. You can retreat or feel defeated. You may feel these words need to be repeated or just ignored. That's not my fault. Somehow those particular words struck you peculiar, did not suit you, yet you suited up and wore them. Walked around all day feeling some kind of way until they felt familiar and eventually owned them. Wearing wonton words, those words that did not suit you, did not fit you, but you wore them anyway, and somehow that's not my fault. Maybe you were thinking they were food for thought before contemplating. You ate them. You devoured these words. Those crazy, spicy words that were sprinkled heavy-handedly over my sentences like salt from a salt shaker. Sadly, only you could make the decision on how these words affected you.
You chose to bond with words, claim that they be your truth. Being willfully ignorant is not so blissful after all. No names were called. That means those words specifically spoke to you. So, you knew. In peace.
That was a great piece, Mama. I like that. I really did.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Words. Yeah. Us poets, we got a whole army of words that we picked out and used and got in our heads. Can't wait to use them on special occasions. We just, We don't know how it's getting across to the next person. So I'm so glad I got across to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. You got across to a lot of people, Mama. You really
do. Thank you so much. So,
thank you. And we'll talk to you in the return engagement.
Okay, I'll look for something. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. We'll talk to you then. And that was Mama Oladeji calling in from Cleveland, Ohio.
All right. So that was two segments of this, JT.
Yes, it was.
How do you feel about trying to make a return happen?
We'll make it happen, Captain.
The wheels might just come off.
The wheels have gone off a long time ago.
The wheels have been coming off for 8 years at this point. We're like Superman flying into the sun right now.
Pretty much.
And that's all right. So So I guess we'll just do our best here. And then let's have fun with this. We'll figure out a contingency for next week that'll be different. And then it'll be a totally different scenario a couple weeks from then. So thank you, everybody, for we'll try not to be Icarus, but I'm not exactly sure if that's right. Possible, Jim.
Woo.
Icarus didn't even try to be Icarus, really. All right. At least the end of that story. All right, everybody. Time for the return engagement. If you want to call in and share another one, you can. If you want to call and share for the first time, definitely do so as well. I'm looking at some people in the chat room there.
Oh, okay.
So the number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here in time for the return engagement. We're not even going to do that other sound effect. Things are too wonky today. I don't even want to know what's going to happen. You press that button, the car outside goes like shooting in the air. It would be an amazing, like in Casino Royale.
I gotta flip that switch then. There's that switch over here.
You know what? We could totally Dr. Evil set up the studio. Somebody comes in, you just flip a switch and they go through the floor.
Yeah.
Why not? We should be working on this. All right, we've got some great callers lined up. We also have a submission. This was sent in last week also from Steve Junka, and he called it, I think, The Lord Reigneth, Let the Earth Rejoice, which is Psalm 97, verse 1. And here is the piece. God is God. He sees and hears all our troubles and all our tears. Soul, forget not mid thy plans, God o'er all forever reigns. Fear not death nor Satan's thrusts, God defends who in him trusts. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. For this life's long night of sadness, he will give us peace and gladness. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. And in the postscript, so this gives us more of the idea here. It says, author unknown, taken from the morning and evening devotions by Charles Spurgeon, 1883 to 1892. The pastor preached over 7,000 people weekly and an estimated 10 million people. Whoa, in his lifetime. He was called the Prince of Preachers. The Prince of Preachers. And he does say that Steve says he thinks we can all use some inspiration today as we face these extraordinary times, which I can definitely agree with. That was a wonderful piece, Steve. Thanks so much for sending it to us and for sharing it with everybody here. All right, so let's head in to the callers. Once again, I will announce the caller, and then I will let JT kind of talk, and I'll be listening during the delay. Although the delay doesn't seem to be too bad at the exact moment, so we'll see. But first of all, we're going to go right to the number one caller that was the number one in the first spot here, too. Let's go right back to Zach in New York.
Hello, Zach.
Hello.
Okay, you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. Oh, my
gosh.
Hi.
Good. Okay. Hi. All right. Welcome back. What do you have for us?
Well, so this is new this week. You know, it's not my best work, but, you know, just try to keep my mind active and try to come up with new stuff. So, you know, I looked up the definition of Kung Fu, and it's any years of any discipline that takes years of practice and to master. And so what I did, which I think that people should practice, so I called it Kung Fu Typing, and this is a conversation between two people. I wish I could fight. You can. How? I don't know how to punch or move. You fight with words. It's called Kung Fu Typing. Kung Fu Typing? Did you just make that up? Doesn't sound very cool. It's not supposed to be. But if you master it, you'll never worry, need to worry about not knowing how to punch or move. End of piece.
All right. I like that. Yeah.
You know, because I mean, if you realize how to think about what you're typing and think about what you're saying to someone, you know, you're going to be able to defend yourself. You're going to be able to defend others, and you know, you'll be a lot stronger than you know, physical fighting.
I can completely agree with that. Yes, there are plenty of people in this world that have done that. And there are plenty of people that need to continue to do that.
So, well, that's nice. What we're here for.
That's,
I mean, maybe
right.
Not the typing, but we're here for the long haul.
That's right. So, well, thank you very much, Zach.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again next week?
Sounds good.
All right. You have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. And that was Zach calling in from upstate New York.
That's right. That was Zach. How exciting that was. Thrilling, I would even say.
No. Oh, okay.
No. It really was. It did a great job. Yeah. So let's go now to, it's funny how they land in the same patterns. Have you noticed this?
Yes.
It's weird. Let's go now to Jim the Dill in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jim.
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
All right, you can hear me, Lottie.
I can hear you clear as day.
All right, I'll get right to it. I'm going to read the poem that I've done before. And the subject of the poem, it's actually her birthday. So she will be 47. Anne, I remember, and I can't forget, and I sometimes where you are now. End of poem.
All right. And I really like that. Which page was that on again?
Huh?
What page was that on again?
Page 16, I think.
16?
Yeah, 16.
Okay. All right.
Sweet.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you.
Will we? Oh, you have. You worked next week, right?
Yeah, I work next week, so I'll hear you guys in 2 weeks.
Ooh, okay.
And I might break down and read the Revolt of Islam if there's enough time.
Okay.
Because it's a 12 candle.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, you too.
And that was Jim calling in from Pennsylvania.
That's right. And now we're going to head to a place they like to call the Show Me State, the place they like to call Land of a Million Colors, the Land of Enchantment. Let's go to Connecticut and speak with Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Let's go to Connecticut.
The land of a million colors.
The land of a million colors.
Okay, that's funny. So I'm going to read. Actually, Shelley is one of my favorite poets. I studied a lot of the natural poets, the English, the early 19th century poets, and really love Shelley. And so I'm going to read Hymn to Intellectual Beauty by Percy Bysshe Shelley. The awful shadow of some unseen power floats, though unseen, among us, visiting this various world with as inconstant wing as summer winds that creep from flower to flower, like moonbeams that behind some piney mountain shower, it visits with inconstant glance each human heart and countenance, like hues and harmonies of evening, like clouds and starlight widely spread, like memory of music fled, like aught that for its grace may be dear and yet dearer for its mystery. Spirit of beauty that dost consecrate with thine own hues all thou dost shine upon, of human thought or form, where art thou gone? Why dost thou pass away and leave our state, this dim, vast veil of tears, vacant and desolate? Ask why the sunlight not forever weaves rainbows over yon mountain river, why aught should fail and fade that once is shown, why fear and dream and death and birth cast on the daylight of this earth such gloom, why man has such a scope for love and hate, despondency and hope. No voice from some sublimer world hath ever to sage or poet these responses given. Therefore the names of demon, ghost, and heaven remain the records of their vain endeavor. Frail spells whose uttered charm might not avail to sever from all we hear and all we see, doubt, chance, and mutability. Thy light alone, like mist or mountains driven, or music by the night wind sent through strings of some still instrument, or moonlight on a midnight stream, gives grace and truth to life's unquiet dream. Love, hope, and self-esteem like clouds depart and come for some uncertain moments lent. Men were immortal and omnipotent. Didst thou unknown and awful as thou art, keep with thy glorious train firm state within his heart, thou messenger of sympathies that wax and wane in lovers' eyes, thou that to human thought art nourishment like darkness to a dying flame, depart not as thy shadow came, depart not lest the grave should be like life and fear, a dark reality. While yet a boy, I sought for ghosts and sped through many a listening chamber, cave, and ruin, and starlight wood, with fearful steps pursuing hopes of high talk with the departed dead. I called on poisonous names with which our youth is fed. I was not heard. I saw them not. When musing deeply on the lot of life, at that sweet time when winds are wooing all vital things that wake to bring news of birds and blossoming. Sudden my shadow fell on me. I shrieked and clasped my hands in ecstasy. I vowed that I would dedicate my powers to thee and thine. Have I not kept the vow? With beating heart and streaming eyes, even now I call the phantoms of a thousand hours, each from his voiceless grave. They have envisioned bowers of studious zeal or love's delight. Outwatched with me the envious night, they know never joy illumined my brow, unlinked with hope that thou wouldst free this world from its dark slavery, that thou, O awful loveliness, wouldst give whatever these words cannot express. The day becomes more solemn and serene. When noon is past, there is a harmony in autumn and a luster in its sky, which through the summer is not seen or heard or seen, as if it could not be, as if it had not been. Thus let thy power, which like the truth of nature on my passive youth, descended to my onward life, supply its calm to one who worships thee, and every form containing thee, whom spirit fair thy spells did bind, to fear himself and love all humankind. And Paul?
Great piece, Barbara. Good pick, yeah.
That was Hymn to Intellectual Beauty by Percy Bysshe Shelley. And I think parts of this are sublime. I could say that as I was reading some of it, it's sublime work. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, this is how I'd like to write. But no, I'll never write like this. This is not my style. But still, do love it. And thought I would share this with everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Kind of long, but I think just on the brink, right?
You're fine. You were fine. So, but thank
okay.
you.
Yeah. You're welcome. And I did study him. I studied him and Byron and these were really young guys who wrote this stuff. I mean, you know. And it's amazing what their thoughts were at that time. Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone because you have a lot of people, I guess. And just going to say have a great night and weekend. And just enjoy whatever you can because it's hard to enjoy things these days.
I understand, yeah. So, all right.
I know people keep asking me to come out. You know, like go out and someone just asked me to go to lunch with her outside. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I don't know.
Yep.
That's my feeling. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Mm-hmm. Do I dare go through all the hassle? Anyway, I'll get off the phone and let the other person get on. So great night. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Bye.
Thank you, Barbara. Bye. And that was Barbara calling in from Connecticut.
And what a fine job she did, JT.
Yes.
What a fantastic job.
Yes.
Now, I will say, you know what I feel right now? It's warm outside. It's been incredibly hot outside for the last few days. It's still a little warm.
Mm-hmm.
But my hands are getting cold. I feel like I need a mitten.
Oh.
Hey, man, we're already off the rails. I'm just throwing out ballast for fun at this point.
You're good. Right. You're good.
All right, we're going to head now to Michigan to hear from Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, I'm back.
Great. Great to have you back.
All right. Well, the poem I'm going to read this time is a poem written by Michael Amade, and it's from his book, The Fall. And the title is The Land Behind Your Eyes. I'll meet you there in the land behind your eyes, between shadow and a dream, beyond the clouds in moonlit skies. All manner of things dwell there, lying low or flying high. There is never cause for sadness. There are never any tears to cry. There are adventures to be had and stories so wide that you could spend your life inside them and not reach the other side. There are vast blue oceans beyond sands of pure white. There are valleys of soft grass beyond mountains that rise so high. There are good places for hiding and secret spots no one can find. There are fields for running and trails where no one gets left behind. There are people there who love you so much they could scream. And there are dreams so real that reality seems just like a dream. For what is a dream but the truth? And what is the truth but a dream? And all the things that seem so simple and small are never really what they seem. I'll meet you there in the land behind your eyes, between the shadows and a dream, beyond the clouds in the moonlit skies. End of poem. A poem by Michael Amade.
Well done, Dennis. Well done. Well read.
Thank you. Yeah, you guys promote our poetry so much. You guys get ignored, and that shouldn't be, because you guys are in our poetic community in the mix just as well. We ought to be hearing more of your poetry too. So I just thought I'd throw that in and acknowledge that we are grateful to be surrounded by such a host of poets, and our hosts are definitely in that collection. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you.
All right. So, Dennis, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that. That was very, very, very cool to hear. You're reading things I haven't thought about in a long time. So thank you for that. And it's a big compliment. So wonderful. So now we're going to head to Cleveland, Ohio, to hear once again from the formidable and amazing Mama Oladeji.
Hello, Mama. Ooh, I don't even hear like a Skype issue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here. Oh,
okay, but there she is.
I was muted because I didn't want it. I can't hear, so I can't tell when. It's like I only can hear bits and pieces. It's been really horrible. And then the other group came on, the group right next to you. Like, oh. It's right on. It's like on another page. Like right. I think they're interfering with our podcast because they just like came on. It was like loud music playing, and it wasn't us. But they were still. It was still on World Poetry, but it wasn't us.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, they were playing a keyboard, and they had like animation and everything.
And next thing I know, I was in a different room. I'm like, wait, that's not Barbara. Barbara was speaking, and all of a sudden, that started happening. And I said, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I don't know how the playback is going to come. Maybe I'll be able to hear it then when you give us the playback. But I basically didn't get to enjoy the program at all.
Not a problem on the playback. You won't hear the other broadcast on the playback. So
No, I'll be able to hear the whole poem.
You sure will.
Other people's poem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and do mine then. It's called "If We Don't Need 'Em, Why Feed 'Em?" That's the name of the piece. And it's from my free book. I have some free books to give away, some chat books. And I think this one is on the political volume 5. We do not need to feed those who we do not need. Every since they yelled, there's gold in them thy hills. There's oil in that there ground. There's diamonds in that there mine. There's salt in that there mine. There's water in that there well. There's fertile soil on them people's land. Poor people have become a means to an end. Disposable, dispensable, unemployable. Slavery is still a commodity. Build new prisons. Keep them on reservations. Bring in the cheaper workers. They are desperados. And they know how to suffer in silence. These others make too much noise. And these union boys, well, they had their day. They had their say. There's GMOs in them dire fish, chicken, tomatoes, and corn. Feed them the fuel, no more sugar cane. Syrup from the corn or bust. They'll soon be insane. Feed them. Feed them. Did I mention we can now use their pensions? If you're happy and you know it, feed them poison stuff. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Wow. Great piece, Mama. Really enjoyed that. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mama. Thank you for sharing your words with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, if I can get here, and if you all can get going, I'm going to be here.
Okay.
This is where I love to be.
All right, we'll get going.
Sorry, I couldn't interact with anybody, y'all. But I was trying to listen, but I'll hear it on the playback, and I'll give you some feedback then.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mom.
Okay. You're welcome.
And that was Mama Ola Day G calling in from Cleveland, Ohio.
And just a second, what you're saying, JT, that was a wonderful piece. And Mama, thank you so much. It really does matter. You know, us all contributing our work, and hers really has such a vitality to it, I think is really, really important to us. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going into our last caller for the evening. We're going to head to, I think he's a really fitting way to close the show, always. Let's go to Chris in Lansing.
Hello, Chris.
I'm here. Are you?
We're here.
Are you sure?
I hope so.
All right. I'll be kind. I won't go there. All right. I'll be kind. I won't go there. Okay, you're hearing the echo. I'm about to shut that part of it off. gotta love it. There.
Wonderful.
Shut it off.
Wonderful.
Anyway. Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
I figured there was enough echoing anyway. Oh, God. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Mama was really good. I appreciate her. She makes me think. And that's a good way to be. Thank you, Mama. Anyway, okay, I'm last, I guess. All right. This is page 3 of a booklet that I'm putting together right now. And you'll understand why I had to say that when I reached the end of the poem. And I'm calling it 99 cents. Cheap seats. It said there are no cheap seats anymore. And 99 cents won't even buy a cup of coffee now. So nothing to even sip while your eyes rove your now or wander these pages. These words, 99 cents, more cheap seats for a cent of tomorrow, a taste of today. Or a vision of a heated mist expanding into infinity, a moment at a time. So many search for the cheap seats all their lives, all their lives, the easy ways, quick ways, without a clue of what they lost or lose along the ways. I hope you feel the thought between these covers. Feel me wandering behind your eyes. And remember to breathe and pause from time to time. Because I will. Yeah. Just some thoughts.
Good. Good thoughts.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting piece. I decided to put together some old stuff with some new stuff. And the original site that places were, or things were put on, sort of went away. And they gave me about a day's warning.
Ooh.
Maybe that much. So it was kind of cool.
Wow.
You can still find it on the web, but you can't find anything beyond 2008 there. So stuff doesn't go away, as we found out, but stuff goes away. You know how that is. Anyway, guys, it was an honor and fun to be with you tonight. And you guys did real well, even though you had some glitches. But like you said, it ain't life and death. It's fun. It's being who you are. And you guys rose to the occasion well, and I appreciate you guys immensely. So you take care. And I look forward to being with you guys again.
Thank you, Chris. We look forward to having you
back. And I don't compliment guys. I just speak my mind. And you guys are worth saying something good about.
Thank you.
And really take care.
Thank you. You too. And that was Chris calling in from Michigan.
It's fantastic work, Chris, and thank you for the kind words there at the end. You know, I think it's one of those things we've mentioned a few times before that people aren't really aware of how many moving pieces there are to what we're doing. And I think COVID added an entirely new apparatus to that, which made it even more complicated. On a good day, we're running, when I'm sitting in the studio with you, JT, how many computers are we running? Four?
Three to four.
When we're broadcasting this way, it's an extra one for the Zoom call plus mine and all of it, but there has to be a circular audio that goes in but doesn't pick it up. It's craziness. So we appreciate everybody being so just understanding. We'll get it worked out. And like I said, this won't be an issue going forward, especially you know, in a few weeks we'll be actually trying to do the in-studio thing again. But we're going to work on it on the off week too, and hopefully this won't be an issue for this next week. Well, there's just new variables that are consistently presenting themselves, and it's just something we have to work through. It's the only way through it. So thank you for your resilience, for your patience, and we're going to keep applying that through the week in order to not have that be in vain. But we also really appreciate your work. You shared something really special with us this evening. And we want to honor that, and we want to say that we look forward to being able to do that again with you this next week. So, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, from Hemingway, the dog of Studio B, from JT and myself, we say thank you, good evening, and until we see you next week, keep on writing. Good night.